Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, hello and welcome to week two of the Bystander Effect series. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at the church and excited this week to bring in the second part of the four-parter on encouraging people through this process of what is the bystander effect and how to move people forward, encouraging them in their journey. I hope you had an amazing summer. It was 2 weeks ago, and now here we are. I had an amazing summer. I usually show up here at church to speak every 6 to 8 weeks. In the body of Christ, I show up 6 to 8 weeks like I'm the coal sore of the body of Christ. Just when you're stressed out, I appear. It's like a Beetlejuice scenario. Having had this most amazing summer, I must just lead in with that. It's been a fantastic, stress-free, fun summer. Did some camping. I sang Girls Just Want to Have Fun with Cyndi Lauper. I did that. That was one of the things I did in my summer. I threw my first ever ace in frisbee golf, a hole-in-one on frisbee golf. I've had an amazing summer. And I also got to enjoy a cruise with my family, so camping and cruising and all these fun things. I think cruises are so magical and stress-free. It was a fantastic, fantastic time. Imagine just entertainment and enjoyment. And then the food. The food is fantastic. I like to think of it like Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes, and then he sat down and ate the whole thing himself. That's what a cruise is like. It's something magical and feast-filled. And this takes me from my summer into the things that we face heading into the new year, this new season, with the bystander effect. Now, the bystander effect is a psychological experiment whereby when there are large crowds, how less people engage. Less engagement in larger crowds. Surely someone else will do this. Someone must jump in. Seriously, with this many people in a scenario, whether it was someone being attacked on the street or someone needing help, you think the more people there are, the faster people will respond. But it turns out that in the bystander effect is that the less people will engage. The less people will engage. And my lot in this next 20, 25 minutes is to encourage you on engaging instead of being the bystander, to be the upstander, the one that jumps into the equation. Now, everybody hears encouragement differently. And so the attempt is to encourage. If you hear it that way, great. Everyone hears things a little different. True story, I was at the park just a couple weeks ago and ran into the lady who used to cut my hair. And I went to the same lady for years before she retired. And she's like, Vince. And I said, Rose. And she's like, are you still getting your hair cut at the mall? I said, yeah. She goes, that's why your hair looks like crap. Except she didn't say crap. She was so, we had a fun, jokey relationship. I think she was trying to encourage me to say I look good. That's how I took it. But maybe not. Maybe my hair looks like crap. I love going to the mall. I go to Tommy Gunn's now. It's the head massage that really does it for me. Everybody's going to hear encouragement differently. So whatever comes out of my mouth today, please hear it in a way of encouragement where you can take something away from this to apply to your life that I will not be a bystander in this world. I will not be a bystander in my own life. I will not watch just things happen and me sit back passively. I will engage. Now let's get into it. This is predominantly for many of our leadership folks and people who lead in life. And these are things to help you along when people will inevitably ask these questions and you're looking for ways to answer So if you're someone who helps encourage or motivate other people, here are some three things I'd love to jump in to help you with. Question number one people ask, I don't know how to engage. I don't know how to engage. And I read through the scripture, and there is an attitude that comes through with engagement. Certain people who are like this, and many of you are this way. Isaiah 6 and 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? The voice of God speaks, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? And who will go before us? And I said, here I am, send me. Pick me. I'll do it. And there is an attitude that goes along with being able to see problems and jump in. The other day, there was a Tesla on the side of the road, and I thought, I need to do something about this. And of all days, I had this big, giant plastic bag in my car filled with rice. And so many of you know this is what you need to do in order to fix a Tesla. You need to put it into a bag of rice, and then the absorption from the rice pulls out all the problems in the Tesla, and that's how you fix most electric cars. There's something about seeing a problem and wanting to jump in to do something. You've seen that person on the side of the road. You've seen that situation. There's something about, Lord, open my eyes to see where I can help. Open my eyes to know when and where to jump in. Last Sunday was a banner kickoff for the year. Actually, amazing. Church spilling with people. We had a fantastic fall kickoff. The parking lot was a gong show, just because of how many people were here. Sanctuary full here. The Mandarin service full. Kids church full. And the parking guys needed a little help. One of the members of the church came up and he said to me, they're going to need help with the parking. And I was already drowning in other challenges. So he just said, let me take my kids to Sunday school. And it was Justin Willie, fantastic human being. He says, let me just take my kids to Sunday school, give me a vest, and put me in. And it's the eyes to see challenges. It's the eyes to see problems. And then you having the fortitude, the gumption, I don't know how this goes, I'm going to jump in. Whatever the situation requires, that you're prepared to have that put me in coach attitude. There was a full army. There was 40 plus volunteers that went in to making the fall kickoff happen. It was a real fun event. Fantastic. Arguably one of our best. But it just didn't happen by itself. So many people, 40 plus people jumped in. People that had signed up in advance. People that just saw a need and jumped in. I think of people like Sang or Janet or Amanda helping out with the corn. And there was a whole army of people like shucking corn. And I know Amanda had said, I didn't even sign up, but I just saw, I could be useful here and jumped in. There's something about seeing challenges, seeing problems. So in answering the question, influencers, how do I engage? Encouraging people, open up your eyes to see what's going on around you, and then having the fortitude to jump in. Gary was there spinning music as the DJ, and he jumped in. Donna, amazing woman. Amanda Hansen, fantastic. People just jumping in with their abilities to make everything go smoothly. Julian helping out with at the bouncy castle. Dozens of people, making hot dogs and helping out with this and barbecuing that. Thank you. Thank you to all those who participated. It requires people who see things. So step one of not being a bystander is just open your eyes. You are valuable and you are needed. Balloons from the Mandarin congregation, dentists within the church, signing up people for free service who can't help pay for things themselves, just said, I will take care of these certain problems for free for people. There's amazing things happen last Sunday. Okay. So that here I am, send me Isaiah attitude. Pick me. Lord, use me. I open my eyes and choose me. The second thing that pops up with folks is a fear of engaging. A fear about engaging. What if I get dragged into something? It's like, oh, it's so much hassle. I don't know if I want to go through all of that. I don't know if I feel like engaging, because what if it becomes more? What if I get hurt in the process? Not just physically, but I get tied up into things and it becomes more than I can bear, and I don't want to let people down, so I won't do anything. And so fear is something that absolutely jumps in and grips people. Sometimes people see people engage and they just think, oh, it's so easy for them. Oh, it's so easy for them to engage. It's not easy. It's not easy to engage. And moving through fear can be a significant part of it. Just because things seem easy for some folks. Like back in my era, if you wanted to eat laundry detergent, like Tide, we had to eat Tide from the box back in my era. It wasn't easy. And kids these days just have it easy with these little pods, and they can eat those pods. It's so simple for them now. But back in my era, we had to like dig in and open up a box and jump in on eating Tide. The directors of the church have asked me to say that eating detergent is not good for you. Don't do that. Of course, I joke. There's so many things where it looks so simple, and you think, oh, no one's afraid to do it. It's just simple for them. There's no fear. Of course, some things are hard and they're not simple for anyone. And sometimes when fear grabs you, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to engage that way. What if I can't do it? What if I look like an idiot? And fear takes you. There's this fantastic game that we can play. We can play it real quick right now. Okay, you ready? Who's going to deal with the demon? Okay, quick little game. Who's going to deal with the demon? So this had come up, actually this last week. We get calls at the church all the time. Interesting, strange things pop up. And someone calls who's demon-possessed. Or they claim that they're demon-possessed. Or I don't know if it's a mental illness. I don't know what's going on. I was tied up with something else, and often I take these calls, but I was tied up with something. And so we said, Wyatt, now that you're Pastor Wyatt, guess what? You want to earn that title. Today is the day. Demon on line two. And it's one of those, who is going to take care of this? Because when you hear something, you're like, not it. No thank you. I don't want to engage with that. But if it's not going to be you, then who? If not you, then who? This situation popped up, and I'll read through in the book of Acts, verses 13 to 16. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Now, the seven sons of Sceva, who is a Jewish chief priest, they were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. These seven sons got their butts whooped and ended up naked and bleeding. Now, this just sounds like a terrifying thing. Who's going to take care of it? Now, who's going to take care of it? These guys weren't spirit-empowered. They were just claiming about what Paul and Jesus had done, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit themselves to act in this way. And I can see where, like, everyone just going, not it. Like, not it. You know, like some people play this game in and around the house with like, oh, so who's going to clean up the whatever? Oh, not it, not it. Okay, who's saying grace today? Not it, not it. And this is the send me, pick me. I'm Holy Spirit filled. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm not concerned about having my clothes stripped naked and being beaten. Even demons are going, there's just some things you can't unsee. Who wants to deal with the demoniac? And we see this, it's a different story where Jesus was in this scenario. Luke 8:35. And the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, Jesus had come across a naked, demon-possessed man, and that one touch from Jesus, one touch, was life-transforming. And this is how it is for you, too. One touch from Jesus is life-transforming. But the people were afraid. The people were afraid. And this is a real thing that we all face. I don't want to engage. I'll just be a bystander because of fear. Engaging can be very costly. It can cost you financially. It can cost you emotionally. It could be a spiritual toll. Engaging is going to cost you something. But it's something that is so worth the effort. Yeah, recent events. This is all over the news right now. The situation with the murder of Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk is a Christian conservative activist pundit who comes to college campuses and he debates people who have differing points of view, and they come up and debate with him, and it's an exchange of words, and it's an exchange of ideas. And he's very much a Bible-believing Christian person. Comes onto the campuses, and people go in. It's a debate format, so you know it gets kind of crazy. And this past week, someone shot him mid-debate, shot him in the neck and killed him. Now, where this war of words turned into something crazy and physical, this is the exact reason why some people choose to not engage. They say, I don't want to engage. The world is full of crazy town and insanity, and I don't want any of that. So I'm just going to lie low. I'm going to lie back. Someone else will deal with it. Because I don't feel either prepared or I'm just, you know, that's going to be someone else's problem. The Charlie Kirk type people of the world said, I am going to engage in culture. I'm going, whether people love me or hate me, it's not particularly the point. It's I'm going to engage. I'm going to engage in the culture. And something like him being shot strikes fear in people. Like, this is why people don't engage. So I'm just going to back off. Acts like this instill fear. And if it's just everything based out of fear, then you will be a bystander forever. You will watch the world go by. You will watch your life go by. You cannot choose fear. I'm not saying don't be afraid. I came across some interesting things. What does Jesus say about this? John 16:33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I'm telling you straight up. Jesus, from the mouth of the Lord himself, in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. What does that mean? Take heart means to have courage. I have overcome the world. A quote by James Hollingsworth is this. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than your fear. So it's not saying don't be afraid, don't be concerned, but knowing that there are things worth pushing on anyway, having the courage anyway. You say, I'm afraid to engage. I'm afraid to engage. This is your choice on how you're going to live your life. I don't want to go down like that. I don't want to spend my life in the shadows because of what maybe might be. It's just not a way that a person of influence and a leader should live their life. And so here we have it. So one, I don't know how to engage. Two, I'm afraid to engage. These are things that sometimes people will talk about. And the final one, three, I tried that before. It's an interesting thing, before we move on with regarding fear. It's, you know, Jesus himself, it's the garden and he's praying. He says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. It's fear, but also not being fired up about what's coming next because he knows what's coming. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. So everybody faces this, and the Lord is deeply aware of the situation, but we must press through. I tried that before. I've tried that before. I gave that a spin. It didn't work out. I tried that. I tried to engage, and now I'm good. It's funny, with different demographics of things. Perhaps you're a young person listening to this today. You're a young person, you're sub 30, sub 20. You want to try something. I tried that, but I didn't have the experience. Well, how would you answer that? How would you answer that? Well, in order to get the experience, you're going to have to try. You have to try, you have to keep trying. You keep trying until you have the experience, and then you have the experience. This is just how it works. New parents out there, I don't know how to do that. Well, until you do. No one knows until they give it a spin. You got to try, you got to keep trying at it. And it's exciting. I tried that before. Is not an excuse. I don't have experience is not an excuse. I think of one of our young people like Nathan Chen. Fantastic dude. Intelligent, handsome, athletic. He's got it, check, all the boxes. He's a great young man. I'll see him out at night shift, and he's serving food to the homeless. We have an amazing group of people participating in night shift. Amazing group of seniors who prepare meals every week. I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm going to make food. Another group of amazing people. I can't make the food, but I can serve the food. And they do their part. I'm not going to be a bystander. And someone like Nathan, a young man, leading groups in his school. I was at the mall several months back, and I just ran into him. He was serving pancakes to people through some Rotary Society or something. Just engaged. And as a young person, they're doing it. They're doing it. They're doing it. To the family people out there, I tried, but I just don't have the time. You don't have the time. You don't have the time, but there's also, I don't have the will. These are hard. I know how it is. I've been there. I've walked through this. I'm walking through this. You pick up and you take your kids on things with you. I'm also modeling for them, so it's not enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to sit these years out until they're grown, because I'm busy. I have four children, and I have a tier one, top tier wife, and so we would do things like, you're going to come alongside and serve with us. They've all gone to night shift to serve. We've taken them on international missions trips, where we serve for a week and then we vacation for a week. We help build a church, we put down blocks and concrete, and then we go have some fun. You see people in the congregation now, you're saying, well, how do I engage? You can be an usher next week with your son and or daughter. I don't have time. It's nonsense. It's not real. It's a story you've told yourself to help push through a moment, but it's just not accurate. You do have time. I think of someone like Troy and little Houston. He's like sub two, I believe. Cute little man. And Troy, great dad, doing what they know how to do. He and Alicia, because sometimes you just got to bring Houston with you. This is just how it goes. We're a family church. These are the things that happen. So it's not a lack of time. It's a, I've got to open my eyes to see what can be done because I'm also modeling for them. I need to engage. My seniors. So as I'm mid-50s now and I can see some of those things, I can see those parts of the end and how this story can go. You know what? I'm just a little tired now. I tried, but I'm just tired. I just want to hand it over to the next batch of people, and I'm just really doing it for them so that I open up space. Nonsense. It's nonsense. I'm just going to wait. Oh, no, I'm retired. We'll just let someone else take care of it. I'm going to be a bystander now. It's not the time. You've gained the wisdom, whatever the energy that you have, spending it in a way that still honors the Lord. You think, I just want a vacation. I just want to jump on a cruise ship for the rest of my life and sail off into the sunset. I know the feelings, but I can't. I have to keep engaging. There's like a few things left in life that are like, of which only one I can control, but there's three that come to mind, things I'd love to see happen in life. See, I've seen things already. I've eaten a baguette in front of the Eiffel Tower. I've seen pyramids, amazing. I've slept in a hotel made of ice. I've done some fun things, and there's three kind of left on my list. There's lots of like those fun things left, but there's three like real ones of which I can only control one. I would love to walk a daughter down the aisle. Amazing. I can't control that. So it's not just walk her down the aisle. I want to have her walk down the aisle to a Christian young man. This would be amazing. I can't control that. I would love to have a grandkid one day, biological, adopted, I don't care. I hear my children, I love them, they're amazing, but I hear grandchildren are even better. That's two. The one that I can control is I want to be useful until I'm dead. Now, that could be said so much nicer. But I specifically say it this way because it kind of sounds, it's crisp. It's got enough harshness to it on the permanence of things. I want to be useful until I'm dead. Life will change. I will not always be one of the pastors at Calvary Church. One day I will retire, but my retiring does not mean that I'm useless. I must. As this an aging person, engage. I have to engage. I can't be a bystander to any of this stuff. Scripture says it this way, Philippians 13, verses 13, 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what is behind and strain forward towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I can't rely on yesterday. I can't dwell on yesterday. I should have, could have, or I did, and it was. I have to just keep moving forward. It's imperative. So how do I engage? You can teach people about this, teaching them to engage. Working through fear and having courage to work through fear. And that third one, I tried that before. Now, I'm speaking primarily to a bunch of people who are doing it. You are engaged, you are making it happen. And so your job is to keep passing it along with these lessons. And I want to pray for you, because I'm not going down like that. I'm going to not bystand. I'm going to upstand. And I know many of you have the same thing. So even while you may be at home right now or here in the building, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with your eyes open, staring straight at me. We're not bowing heads. We're not closing eyes. I want to lock eyes. Pray with me. Jesus, I commit to you. I will not be a bystander in this world or in my own life. Help make it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Have an amazing week.